very good system, which enables me to have a lot of svarim from Rosh Yeshiva Zipanovich, which are very helpful for the shiurim that I like. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, who was one of the svarim, I will be quoting from a lot. I actually have handwritten notes from a Talmud, a certain Rabbi Steinberg, handwritten notes, a copy of handwritten notes from his shiurim in Panovich. Tremendous, tremendous shiurim that when I was younger, I derived a tremendous gain in learning from Rav Shmuel Rozovsky shiurim. One of the Rashivas there was Rav David Pavarsky, and he actually wrote over his own shiurim, and using the Birch Shmuel, said the same thing pretty much that the Rav said. So let me tell you what they suggested. Take a look at the Rambam that I think we photocopied on page 9. The Rambam in Hilchas Geneva, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph and Beis, reads as follows, a few cases. Hatoin shenignav mibeiso ha-pikadon. Some shomer chinam who claims that the pikadon was stolen from his house, im nishba, if he swears to that fact, that it was stolen from him, va'achakach bo edim shesheker ta'an, and afterwards edim come and say, you claimed a lie. It was never stolen from you. How do I know that? Ushaha pikadon hazeh etzlo, because the pikadon's still in his backyard. Elsie the cow is still in the Shomer Chinam's house. Hareza mishalim teshlume kefil. This person, who's called a toein tainas ganef, if you learn Bava Kama, you'd know that. Toein tainas ganef. He claimed, it was a Shomer Chinam, he claimed it was stolen. Shomer Chinam is potter for Geneva. But it wasn't stolen. He stole it himself. Toentain is Ganav, is Mishalim Teshlumei Kefel, Sharihu Atzmar Ganav, because he himself is the crook. He's the one who stole it. So here we have, in the Rambam, the case of, I swear it was stolen from me, and Edom say, it's not true, it's in your backyard, you're the Ganav, you pay Kefel. Case number two, V'im Tovach Umochar Achar Shenishba, if you shechted it, or sold it, after you swore that you did not have because it was stolen from you. If it's a sheep, then Mishal Teshlumei Arba. If it's a cow, you're Mishal Teshlumei Chamishim. Arba Chamishim. The Eino Mevi Oshom Al Pi Edim Al Shvu Oso. You do not bring a carbon Oshom, even if the Edim were the ones who showed you were wrong in your Shvuah. Ve'eni mevi chomesh, this has nothing to do with us. They do not bring a certain fine called a fifth of the value of the object. She'ena chomesh mishtalim imakefel. You don't pay a fifth on top of paying double. One knas on top of the other, we don't do. Ve'imbo edim kodim, here's an important case. Ve'imbo edim kodim sheyishba. If the edim come before you swore, in other words, you said the object was stolen, I don't have it. But you didn't swear to that. Eino mishalim ela keren bilvan. Then you only pay once. You pay the value. Apparently, swearing makes a difference. If I swore and then I was caught, I'm the ganav. If I did not swear, I just denied responsibility, then I'm caught, I'm not a ganav. Interesting. Ba'amet dvarim amurim shenishba kodim sheshalach b'mikodin yad. This is talking about where you swore before you used the object. If you swore before you used the object, then you're only going to pay keren. Avul im sholach bo yad v'toan tainas ganav. But if you used the object first, and then you claimed that it was stolen, Vidnishba, and then you swear, Ubo Edim, and then Edim come, Potter mina Kefil. You are Potter from Kefil. Kefil pen you only chayef for when you swear and then you were caught. But if you were Sholeach Yad first, you don't pay Kefil. Shekivon Shesholeach Yad Nischayev Bo Vid. Ki no ho. Once you were Sholeach Yad, you're chayiv for it, and you acquired it. And you acquired it. So the Rav suggested the following. Kathira b'shvua, when a person denies responsibility for the objects and swears to that, that gives the Shomer Chinam chiyuvei gzela, obligations that happen because you stole it. If you were kofer b'shvua, you have chiyuvei gzela. Shlichus yad does something else. Shlichus yad gives him kinyonei gzela. If you acquired it through the gzela, you don't pay kefil. If you denied it with a shvua, then you end up paying kefil. Very interesting. There are two aspects to becoming a gazlan. One is that you get certain chiyuv. Another is that you get certain kinyonim. We're going to elaborate on that. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Hem and Beis, Rav Shesha said, HaKovar Bikodom Nase Olav Gazlan, and then said what? On page 5. The Chayiv Ba'onsim. So Rav Yoshe Be'er, why does the Gemara have to tell me that it's Chayiv Ba'onsim, as you asked during Seder? He's a Gazlan. Once the person stole it, and now lightning strikes it, of course, I have to return. If I can't return the object, I've got to pay for it. Of course. Why does the Gemara have to emphasize v'chayiv ba'onsim? Why does the Gemara have to emphasize that you're chayiv for onus that happens to it once you became a gazlan? So the Rav wanted to say, to show us that a kofer b'pikadon only has chiyuve gzela. The kofer b'pikadon does not get kinyone gzela. The kofer b'pikadon gets chiyuve gzela, certain obligations due to the fact that he stole. But he does not have kinyone gzela, which again we'll tell you more what kinyone gzela are in a moment. He does not have, why does he not have kinyone gzela? Because he didn't make a kinyon on it. All he did was deny that he has it. He did no maisa gzela. When the Shomer Chinam is kofer b'pikadon, he did no action of stealing it. There is no action through which to make a kinyan. Here, I made a kinyan. If this is somebody else's bottle, I take it. I made a kinyan. My maisa gzela made a kinyan on it. I deny that you gave it to me. There's no kinyan. There's no maisa. Chiyuvim already. By simply being kofer, and then you're caught afterwards and shown to be a liar, that's a gazlin. The chiyuvim, you're chayiv in ones. That's what the Gemara wants to emphasize. You're chayiv, if now it gets struck by lightning. You already denied it. Now it's struck by lightning, you gotta pay. But kinyon exela, I don't have. Because I didn't know my exela, the bikadon was given to me beheter. It was given to me beheter. The owner gave it to me to hold. In fact, I, as a kofer b'pikadon, am still a shomer. I'm still a shomer of the object. I have, in addition to that, some chiyuve gzela. But I'm not the full-fledged gazlan, because there were no kinyone gzela. You hear that? So the Rav then wants to suggest for Rashi, only a full gazlan, who is no longer a shomer at all, a gazlan who not only has chiyuve gzela, but on top of that has kinyone gzela, only a gazlan of that level requires a basedin of 3 mumchen to judge him. So the case that Rashi is referring to of kofer b'kadon to mishasholach boyar gazlan means he's not just a person who stam denied having the object. Because that person just has chiyuv eksel. this person to be Shashalach Boyad, Havi a Gazlan, even as Kinyane Gzela, and only for that level of Gazlan does the Mishnah say, Dine Mominus Bishlosha. Three mumchen are necessary to charge cases of a real, full-fledged Gazlan. One who has not only Chiyuve Gzela, but even Kinyane Gzela. I'm fully done. Let me take a question or two to see if I can clarify that a little bit, and then we'll try to explain a little bit more. Yes, and then yes. One, two. Just two questions for now. Yes.
Yeah, you said just before that the reason that it's he has kinyane because he didn't do maisa, he just denied it.
That's right.
Was the maisa shiluach yad, or was it a lack?
Shlichus yad would be a maisa. That's a maisa. I used it. That's maisa, yeah, I take Elsie the cow and I milked her. I used her to plow my field. That's Kinyane Gzela.
So it's not just a lack of denying, because the guy gave him whatever.
Okay.
Had. It's because Shlichus Yad.
That's right. Shlichus Yad creates a Kinyan Gzela. A Maisa Gzela creates that Kinyan Gzela. Yes?
So is it that if you have Kinyuve Gzela, you have to pay KFL, or Kinyane Gzela, you have to pay KFL?
It sounds, what do you think from the Rambam? What does it sound like?
Kinyane?
It sounds that way. It sounds that way. Kefil only comes when you're a full-fledged Gazlan, but I'm not 100% sure. You might be able to deny that. Let me just take a look at the Rambam again. Where's the Rambam? Where's it, page 9?
Yeah.
Let's see the Rambam again.
It says...
Because it's that one case that they don't pay Kefil. What's the one case they don't pay Kefil?
The
right. Shlichus Yad creates the Kinyane Gzela, but he does not have to pay Kefil, because he doesn't have those Chiyuve Gzela.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Well, I said two questions. Okay, I'll allow a third.
But hold on. I thought Chiyuve Gzela...
Well, we'll have to see. 1 second.
Rashi says that Dimashav Po Yad have a Gazla, not have a Bezdin Shalshalosh.
Right, but that's what the Gemara says is Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about Dine Mominus Bishlosha Mumchin. That's what the Gemara says. So when Rashi is saying this person is a Gazlan of what the Mishnah is talking about, needs three Mumchin. Okay? Your question I have to deal with a little bit more. Yes? It should be that there are both. It should be that there are both. You need first the Chiyuve Gzela and then the Kinyane Gzela. It is possible, apparently, to have one without the other. Let me explain a little bit more about Kinyane Gzela and Chiyuve Gzela. Then we'll see if we can do what you said. Listen carefully, Rabosai. Chiyuve Gzela have at least two things. There are at least two things that are Chiyuve Gzela. One is Veheshev Esa Gzela. Veheshev Esa Gzela is a Chiyuve Gzela. If you were kofer b'pikadon and you have Chiyuve Gzela, you got to return the pikadon. Give it up. Admit that you lied. And give it back to the guy. That's considered chiyuve gzela. If an ones happens to it, and you can't return the actual object, you got to pay for it. That's a chiyuve gzela. You are a gazlan who is mechuyev to pay back. Kinyane gzela means, this is a little bit interesting, kinyane gzela usually happens through a maiso or even through a shino. You actually have to change something usually within the thing. You take a piece of wood and you make it into a chair. But even a maisa can make a kinyan gzela. That makes the object yours, and therefore, this is going to be a strange idea to you. Once it's yours, you don't have to pay rent for it from the guy who you took it from. Think about that. If I stole something from someone, now I start using it for myself, you would think that after I'm caught, I have to pay him for rent of the object. Kinyane Gzela makes it mine. I have an obligation to repay you, but the object is mine. Therefore, I'm not going to have to pay you for rent of the object. That's the idea of Kinyane Gzela. It becomes yours. I want to deal with the kefil. You know, I want to think about it a little more. Which kefil, how kefil works in there. Okay? I'm going to try to think about that more. Yes?
Yehuda. You have to pay the value of the wood or the value of the chair?
That's also a question. What do you have to pay the value for? Usually it's the value of what it was, okay? Unless the value in the market changed about an object that you stole, then that's machlokas, whether you pay at the value you stole it at, or the value that it is now when you were caught. But if you turned it into something else, you apparently have to only pay the value of what the object was, even though now you made it into something that's more valuable, and it looks like you might be gaining by stealing. That's a whole discussion of ein chote nischar. How do we make sure that the person who stole doesn't gain from his stealing and do it again? Okay, that's a bava kamma issue. Yes? Good. Excellent. We need to test this. So all we've done so far is say, another answer to the Aruch Linares question. Let's just first make sure that question is answered. The Gemara Bava Kamma Daf Kufhei is talking about somebody who has Chiyuv Gzeilo. Rashi is saying the din of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin is talking about somebody who has Kinyan Gzeilo. And that's why Shlichus Yad is a necessary step to qualify as this type of Gazlan that needs three Mumchen to judge. Okay. Let's apply the questions that we asked on the Aruch Linares to the Rav's Pshat, and see if it's any better. Why is Kofer V'Shaleach Yad before Choteif? I think we now know. Yes? It's true, it's Chiyuvim and so on. Yeah, it's all there. Kofer B'Kofer V'Shaleach Yad. It's one case. So why is this case of Kofer B'Kofer V'Shaleach Yad and Havi Gazlan before Choteif? We already know the answer to that. Who said it? Why is this case, according to the Rav, it's one case. We got out of the Aruch Linares, Kasha, we don't need his teretz, it's okay. It's one case. Why is this one case before Choteif? Because the derivation, what the Margolis Hayyam said, is very good, because of the derivation. The only thing that is slightly necessary to fix the psukim that we derive the din of that you have three dayan and rumchen from. It's from the case of Kofer B'Kofer V'Shaleach Yad. We said the case is just Shaleach Yad.
Now we're back to the same question.
Perhaps. I would like to show you the Rambam, but you don't have it. In Perek Gimel Halacha Yadalit. You don't have it. Perek Gimel Halacha Yadalit Hilchos Gzeila. I apologize, I did not photocopy it. Where is it in my thing over here?
Doesn't
Choteif
also have
Kenyan? Choteif is Kenyan, absolutely.
That it fits here in this Rashi.
That's true. That absolutely fits. But why does Rashi add Kofer B'Kofer? Why doesn't Rashi just say, if this is the case it's derived from, Gzelos, Demishah Shalach B'Yad Havi Gazlan? Why does he throw in Kofer B'Kofer of Shalach B'Yad Havi Gazlan? Why does Rashi throw that in? What? Okay, maybe.
Maybe can we use the Margolis Yad to say that we need it because that's the plural then?
We have two cases. We have Choteif and we have Shlichus Yad. So we have two.
So why do we need Kofer?
Kofer is not a third case. According to the Rav, it's part of the case of Shlichus Yad.
No, you can just... I can teach that Kofer B'Kadam by itself. You don't have Kinyane.
Okay, so you could say that Kofer B'Kadon by... In other words, it's saying it's not enough to do Kofer B'Kadon, so I want to throw in he was also Shaleach Yad. But then why mention Kofer B'Kadon at all? Just say, there's Shaleach B'Yad, Havi Gazlan.
Then we might think that there's another case of the Kofer B'Kadon.
Why would you think that? Especially since it's not the case that anything's derived from, and therefore why would Rashi put this case first? Okay, there is another Rambam. I apologize. I did not photocopy it for you. I forgot. If I could find where in the world is these Rambams. The Rambam in Hilchas Gzela, it's a one-line Rambam, and it'll sound very familiar to you, except for one thing. The Rambam in Hilchas Gzela, if I could find Hilchas Gzela. I don't want to lose certain people. I think you're starting to get lost. That's not good. The Rambam Hilchos Gzeila Perek Gimel Halacha Yadalid. Please write this down. Perek Gimel Halacha Yadalid. It's one line, so even if you don't see it inside, I'll read it to you, and you will know this line. The Rambam says in Perek Gimel Hilchos Gzeila Halacha Yadalid, HaKofer B'Pikadon B'Beistin im hayu bishuso bishash shekofar nasal of gazlin v'chayev ba'onso. Say it again. The Rambam says, a kofar b'kodon b'beistin, somebody who denies responsibility b'kodon in court, im hayu bishuso bishash shekofar, if it's in his property at the moment that he would kofar nasal of gazlin v'chayev ba'onso, then he is a gazlin and chayev for onus. Who is the Rambam paraphrasing? Which Amora? Rav Sheshes. What did he add that the Gemara itself did not say about Rav Sheshes? He was in court. He was in court. It seems that when the individual is kofar in court, then he is in some sort of serious trouble and has chiyuve onsin, chiyuve gzela. But, says that that's the way that Rashi and Rav Beis is talking about the case here. Rashi and Rav Beis is perhaps saying very simple. What's the case of Shlichus Yad? The person says to the Shomer Chinam, I gave you an object to watch. The guy was Sholeach Yad. Okay, so Adam come and say it's still in your property. If the person didn't say anything at all when the owner of Elsie the cow said, you know, my cow is in your property, the guy didn't say anything. And he was Sholeach Yad. So, like, what kind of case is that exactly? It could simply be that Rashi is telling us the simplest case of Shlichus Yad. There's no Beis Din involved. The guy said, you have my cow. He says, no, I don't. Which means nothing. Just that, he has no Chiyuve Gzela either. Chiyuve Gzela only happens when the person makes a serious denial in Beis Din. But the normal case of the Pasuk, where the person was Shaleach Yad, is where the Bailum comes, the owner comes and says, you know, you have Elsie. Now, he's been using Elsie for weeks to plow his field, to milk the cow. He's been doing everything with Elsie. The case simply is where the guy says, no, it's my cow. That's why I've been using it. So Rashi, when he says kofar pikadon, is not telling us halachically anything that the Rambam talked about, kofar pikadon. He's not talking about any. It wasn't done in Beis Din. That's what the Gemara of Sheshes was talking about, where it happened in Beis Din. Rashi's really just telling us the case of Shlichus Yad. But the case of Shlichus Yad is where the guy at least denied something to the Bailum. He said, no, I have nothing to do with you. I'm using it because it's mine. So perhaps all Rashi means to say over here is that when there are the Chiyuve Gzela, like the Rav said, that's where the person is a Gazlan. Just being Kofar B'Kadon does not make him a Gazlan at all. Especially since he didn't even do this Kfir in Beis Din. Doesn't even have Chiyuve Gzela from that. He has nothing. Why does Rashi mention Kofar B'Kadon? Simply because that's the case. When the person comes and says, you have my object. Isn't it? No, I don't. I've been using it for all these weeks because it's mine. That's all. So therefore, using the way the Rav understood it, the way the Rav understood it, we could explain Kofar B'Kadon very simply. The way the Aruch Liner said it, he said Kofar B'Kadon is a case where you are a Gazlan for Kofar B'Kadon. You're also a Gazlan for being Shaleach Yad. Two separate cases where we ask, so why is the case of Kofar B'Kadon first? Why is it thrown in there? We're very bothered by that. We have no good answer. But according to the Rav, that Kofar B'Kadon Shaleach Yad Havi Gazlan is one case. The main thing the guy did wrong is he was Shaleach Yad. Kofar B'Kadon just happens to be the case. Yeah.
But Rashi's using the exact lashon that's used wherever else.
Yeah, it's confusing. But the reason why it shouldn't be too confusing is because he writes to Shaleach Yad Havi Gazlan. If it meant what it meant everywhere else, he would have stopped right after Kofar B'Kadon. By telling you the case of Shlichus Yad, that's why he's chai, that's why he's a gazlan, because he was Shaleach Yad. But the typical case of Shaleach Yad is including where the person said, I'm sorry, it's not my cow, it's not your cow, it's mine, that's why I've been using it. So it's just an explanation for what the person told to the owner. Yes?
Correct.
He's lying. But he hasn't done anything. Right. That's what you see from this Rambam. If the Rambam writes, the Kfira has to be in Beis Din. If the Kfira is in Beis Din, that makes a difference. If it's not in Beis Din, not. I thought I saw, if you look at the Megillah Shayam Os Dalet, let me just take a look at that again quickly. In Os Dalet, which I didn't assign to you, but if you look at Megillah Shayam Os Dalet, he quotes the Aruch Lener. You can look at it. He quotes the Aruch Lener. And this is how I found the Rambam. Now, there's nothing you're going to get from this. He quotes the Aruch Lener, there's separate cases, and then he just writes, behind you, Kishakovu Lifnei Beistin, Ayin Rambam, Chuz Gzela Perkim, Allah Yudalit. Ava Shalom Lifnei Beistin, if he's Shalom Lifnei Beistin, Havi Kechoshev Lishloach Yad, he's like a person who thinks I'm going to be Shalach Yad, Ve'enu Chayav Achiyas Akinyin. He's not going to be Chayav until he actually makes a Kinyin of Shalichas Yad. So, to answer your question, if the person's Kofar outside of Beistin did nothing, nothing. That just happens to be the case. He says to the guy, I did nothing. Meanwhile, he's being Shalach Yad the whole time.
He is lying.
He's high because he's Shalach Yad. No. He's not high because he's Kofar Bikon. He didn't do anything. He's just a liar. Okay? That's where I found this Rambam. It was quoted in Megillas Yam, Os Dalet. Yes, Beis Shammai. Right. So since we don't pass like Beis Shammai, we pass like Beis Hillel, just thinking that Shalach Yad doesn't make you chayv. That's called being kofar. In other words, when the person is kofar, the Baal says, you have Elsie the cow. And he says, no, I don't. Why is he saying that? Because he wants to use it. He hasn't used it yet, he's not chayv. As soon as he uses it, now he has the kinyan gzeil on his chayv. Yes?
I mean, it could be that he just wants to get back to the other guy and there's no intentions to use it. He just wants the other guy not to have it.
Okay, then for sure he didn't do anything wrong. Until he shalach yad, he didn't do anything wrong with being kofar, except he lied. That's a separate issue. You don't get malchus for that. Okay? You definitely don't pay anyone for that. Yes. Similar to this idea, because the Rav was not the only one to think of the difference between a Maisa Kinyan, a Chiyuvei Gzela and Kinyanei Gzela, the Bircha Shmuel on page 10. Bircha Shmuel of Baruch Ber. Baruch Ber Leibowitz was the Rosh Shiva, the communist in Europe. He was one of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's prime talmidim, and there was named after him, so I like him. my first name, anyway. The Bircha Shmuel, his name was Baruch Ber. Parents thought that, I guess, Baruch Ber Pesach was a little much. And Pesach was an uncle, so he was named after him. They wanted to add, he was killed by Hitler, so they wanted to add a name. My father was very into learning Bircha Shmuel's in yeshiva. So, it was a name. Rav Baruch Ber is one of the hardest Sfarim to understand, I can tell you. Conceptually, he is the deepest of the deep. You probably didn't know Shlomo Kalbach, but he is the deepest of the deep. It's very, very hard to understand Bircha Shmuel's. They're written in almost cryptic language. I once asked a nephew of his, Rav Chaim Zimmerman, Hagon Chaim Zimmerman, I asked him, what's Pshat? Why is the Bircha Shmuel written so hard to understand? He said that his uncle had certain concepts that were so deep that he didn't know how to express them. So he just wrote anything. I said, so how do you know what he means then? So, you know, you have to work hard to know what he means. You have to work hard. My Rebbe said that Rav Baruch Ber Shiurim in Europe were not so difficult to understand when they were said in Yiddish. In Hebrew, he had a very hard time writing. His Hebrew writing was not so good. But so my Rebbe said, the key is to translate it in your mind into Yiddish, and then you'll be able to figure out what he meant. It didn't work for me. I don't speak Yiddish. But that's what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to say. He said, if you translate back into Yiddish, so you'll understand what he meant. Okay. So I don't have that. So let's try to figure out from the best that we have here. V'nira d'zeh ha'bir shal kushis ha'tosis b'dav kuvzayinu b'beiz v'masal v'sholach. This is an explanation of the kasha on the teretz of Tosfos above the kama d'av kuvzayin. V'zeh l'sholach. Here's the quote of the Tosfos. Avu kofar b'kodim. If the person denies having the object that was entrusted to him as a Shomer Chinuch. Apagav to Omer Avshesh Leal. Even though Avshesh said, HaKofer B'Kodin Atzal of Gazlan. Somebody who's Kofer and B'Kodin comes a Gazlan. Kefel Miham Mechayiv. Nevertheless, if he gets caught red-handed with it, Toein Tainis Ganev, he pays Kefel. To Hodik Omer D'Nasol of Gazlan, says Tosfos. You see, until there was Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos Kasha was that even though Rav Shesh has said above, Kol Begonin is a Gazlan, still Yechayev Kefel. Question mark. I don't know what the question is. So Rav Baruch Ber is going to explain it to us. The end of Tosus is the answer. To Chodik Omer Dinasol of Gazlan, this that Rav Shesh said, Yechayev Gazlan, Haidu Lehischayev Ba'onsin. That's just to be Chayev and Onsin. Period. That's the answer. So I know where the question starts and ends. I know where the answer starts and ends. I don't know what in the world Tosus is talking about. I do know there's such a thing called Ones, that he's chayev for. I know there's such a thing called a Gazlan. I know the guy was covered because of. I know there's such a thing called Kefel, when you're towing Tainas Ganef, when you claim that it was stolen. That's all I know. Says Rav Baruch Ber. Wow, we lost the back. Oy vey. There's too many people in the room. There's a back of the room. Can we throw something at them? What should I do?
Marker,
a water bottle? I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. They might be rested for the basketball game later. I don't know. We need our team to do well. So, okay. Okay. No, it's not a good idea. When I was in 10th grade, my history teacher, who had one eye, Mr. Brown, that was his name. He always dressed in green. His name was Mr. Brown. He dressed in green. So this fellow, Mr. Brown, he used to take erasers because he used to have blackboards. Oh, there were erasers for these also. And he used to throw them at guys in the middle of class. Erasers, chalk. And one time he hit a guy in the head. And the guy started bleeding. And the guy left the room. He said, I'm going to sue you. And I don't know what happened after that. So I don't throw anything. I would like to, but I'm not going to. But he's really out. So I'm having a whole conversation here and he's gone. It seems it worked for you. You, okay.
Should I make a loud noise?
No. He clearly is very tired. Okay? Ubir Kushyasa. Yeah. How do you have one eye? You call him, he's probably dead by now. I was in high school 30 years ago, so I don't remember. I couldn't care. Okay, you're right? Okay, you're right? You okay? Okay, you're okay? Okay. Okay, you have what they call Musar Dat. You know what a Musar Dat is? No. You see, during Musar Seder, a lot of guys, they're too frum to learn Musar. So they want to learn during Musar Seder, but you can't take out a Gemara, the Mashgiach will kill you. So instead, you put your head down. So what happens if your head's down for 20 minutes? So you have this big red dot on your forehead. They call it the Musar Dat. Okay, so that's what happens. Okay, must be learning Musar. Okay, so says the Birch Shmuel, Ubir Kushyasa. The explanation of the kasha of Tosfos is, listen and look. Kivan de gam ayideh hakfira l'chud. Since, based on denial alone, nase gazlan al hachefet v'kona, this is the havamin of Tosfos, that you became a gazlan on the object and acquired it, ve'ech mishkachas toitain es ganef. If it's your object, how can you find the case of, since I claim that it is stolen, and now you found that I stole it, that should not make me into a gazlan or ganef who has to pay twice. I own the object. It's mine. If kfira made it mine, you'll never find a case of toin tainas ganef. Ubir tirutzam nira. The explanation of the Teretz is, this is what we really need. Ta kfira l'chud, just denial, kiva dehu below maisa gzela. Since it's without any action of stealing, us, then, after Nasa Gazlan, even though he did become a Gazlan of some sense, mikom makom lo kana, but he didn't acquire the object, v'lo nifka dine shmira al yedei zeh. It was not paka, it was not removed from him, the halachas of being a shomer. He's still a shomer. He may be a quasi-Gazlan, somebody like to use that word over here, I think it was Yitzi. He might be a quasi-Gazlan, he's something he did wrong here, but he's still a shomer. Lo nifka dine shmira lezeh. He has not removed from himself the halachas of a shomer. Therefore, he could still be chayiv kefel for toitain es ganef. That's a halacha in shmira. On the other hand, if he became a gazlan by doing an action of gzela, he was chotev something with someone's hand, for example, oz amrina dekotna, then we say he has acquired the object, and it is removed, uprooted from him, the halachas of being a shomer. Stop. I'm only going to read till there. Cut it in half. In other words, he's sholeach yad, he did a maisa gzela, then he's no longer a shomer. He has acquired the object. He's not going to pay rent on the object anymore. It's his object. So the Rebbe Ber explains Tosfos' answer is mechalik between, makes a split between, differentiates between a chiyuve gzela, where you still retain the qualities of shmira, you have to pay for Torah Dinus Ganav, versus when you're sholeach yad, you did a maisa gzela, you then also did the kinyone gzela, and you no longer are a shomer at all. This distinction that Rav Yosha Ber said, Rav Baruch Ber said, and all the bears here, the whole forest, oh my. What was that? Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. So we have all the bears. So wasn't the Bears like a team that always lost or something like that? No, the Bad News Bears? I don't remember. So that takes tremendous bekias. We'll have to speak to Rabbi Schiller about this. So he has bekias in these things. I don't know. No? Isn't that true? Bad News Bears? That's what I recall such a thing, but okay. What? It was like a kid's baseball team or something. I don't know. Okay, so the Rebbe Ber makes this distinction. Within Rav Sheshes, it's beautiful. It's almost as if Tosfos said it. He's explaining Tosfos. He makes the distinction within Rav Sheshes. There's Chiyuve Gzela. That's all Rav Sheshes was talking about. Kinyone Gzela. So Rav David Pivarsky says, I have this Rav Baruch Ber. That's Pshat and Rashi. Exactly like Rav Yosha Ber said, Rav David Pivarsky suggested this here. I saw in the Sefer Birchas Avram. Rav Avram Erlinger. Rav Erlinger is a Rosh Shiva in Kol Torah. Who used to be the Rosh Shiva of Kol Torah? He died in 1993. How are you supposed to know that? Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was the Rosh Shiva of Kol Torah. Okay? Rav Erlinger has Chavrusa, who you don't know who that is, who's one of the Rosh Shivas in Torah Das. Okay, I know him. But the Birchas Avram, Rav Erlinger was a Talmud of Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, the oldest son of the Briska Rav. So it doesn't surprise me that a number of people who learned in the same Derech HaLimud came up with a very similar idea to explain our Rashi. Good? Yes. What Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik derived from the Rambam, this chilik, the Birchas Shmuel from Tosfos and Rav Kama. Same principle. They agreed to the same lumdus, the same concept. Pravarsky took the Shmuel and used that to answer Rashi. Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, the Rav, did it on his own. He said, I derived the Rambam. I'll put that into Rashi. But they both, in the end, in the Birchas Avram as well, said approximately the same thing. It's always good, you see, when you're going on a highway and there are a lot of cars going in the same direction, it gives you confidence that you're going in the right direction. If you're driving near Moresh HaKolo and there's no one else in sight, you have to think to yourself, I'm probably in Iowa by now and I'm not anymore in Pennsylvania. When there's no one around, you think of it. So it's good to see that a number of Rosh Yeshiva thought of the same for solving Rad. Yes. Yes. The Birchas Shmuel, the part of it that you have to understand, the answer of Tosfos, he says, Rav Sheshes was only talking about the chiyuve gzela, like onsen. You didn't do an action, you never acquired the object, you just denied. In that case, lo paka, it's not removed. You still are a shomer. The label, shomer chinam, was not yet removed from you. So there could be a halacha of toin tainis ganif. If you say, I deny responsibility for the object because it was stolen from me, and then you're caught, you're going to be chayav kefil. Because even though you didn't touch it, you didn't move it, you're still a partial shomer.
But
if you do a shlichus yad, you actually used it, a maisa gzela, a kinyan gzela, it's removed from you, label of a shomer. And at that point, you would not be chayev kefal. Okay? That you have to fit back into the Rambam. Yeah. That might be what makes the difference in the Rambam. Yes?
The difference between, like, denying that you have it and deny you have it by using it, why would you deny that you have it because you're using it? Like, you would deny that you have it but you don't use it for some reason?
Maybe you never got to using it yet, but you have not yet used it. See, if you're covered because, like I wanted to explain two words in Rashi, if you're covered because of just denying it to the face of the owner, that is meaningless in halacha. You didn't do anything. You might have in mind to do something, such as soon as you're shalach yad, now you're a gazman. But just being covered because an outsider based in does zero. He hasn't. The person who denies it in Beis Din, that's apparently a more serious crime. In front of the courts, to say that you're not going to use it, or he gives you the chiyuve exhale, it's not yours. But you're already a chayiv for certain things, because you made a serious denial in front of a Beis Din. But just now to say to the guy, nah, I have nothing to do with it. It doesn't mean anything unless you use it. When you, okay, Bekiyas in this room, please. After lunch, Maseches Makos, please, in this room. Bottom of basement base.
Yeah,
good.
Okay.
It gets worse. You'll see tomorrow. Everything gets all.
We have for awesome going first,
to me, the Rambam didn't make sense.
It's more bad.
To me, the
it's like our only break. Like,
we don't have
lunch period.
He may have thought of the concept because of the steel he had in the rabbi and said, oh, the rabbi works the other way around. So in the end, we're not going to be in trouble. We prefer that it is considered the rabbi. So let me think through this.
Okay, are we in June now? I'm ready. Four?
No, we have a lunch break possible for me.
Like,
I think I'm going
to
buy
some time to learn this way. Because I already, so, I my birthday's my mom. So, I'm going to
Azara.
And then,